These are practices, as we discussed yesterday, that the hope is that they can let us settle and be here, all of us, and not be concerned about those things that concern us during the day, or worry us, or people. But to be able to be fully present to what is happening in this moment, and hopefully to be able to listen and look for the sacred that's in every moment, if only we can be attentive to the feeling. From the early stages of Hebrew worship, it is thought that some of the worship was chanted. It is thought that the psalms perhaps were sung, and that they were a form of sung prayer. There's something about the human voice being used in a repetitive way that, we had a bit of a breakfast conversation about this, that strikes us in a more primal way, perhaps, than even intricate melodies can. It's the same with the drumbeat. There's something that connects to us in a way that goes across languages, culture, ethnic groups, time. And chant has the same type of quality. In the early hundreds of years of the church, when Pope Gregory was present, chant evolved into a form called Gregorian chant. So this has been with us as a church for, in church time, a long time. Maybe not geologic time, but in church time. And it still has something for us. It still can pull us in. It can still bring us, it can still bring us into this moment and let us be fully aware of what's going on. Now, chant is meant to be repetitive. It's not meant to be awing us with some new intricate melody, but rather letting us settle into the rhythm and the tone of what is being repeated. So if you can just let go of whatever your thoughts may be about repetitive music, and let it kind of wash over you. Let it wash into you. Sing it. But just be a part of it. The chant I'm going to play you will go on for some time. It's less than 10 minutes. But it's some minutes. And you'll discover that as it goes on, it draws you in a little deeper and settles you in a new place. About biblical wisdom. Chant is still used today in the monastic tradition, where the psalms are chanted multiple times a day, throughout the day, all the days of the year. Again, Katie, it gives our minds something to be focused on, and we participate with our voice and with our entire being to bring us, all of us, here. Just another practice from earlier days that can be helpful to us today. As Tom mentioned at breakfast today, we're going to walk into the text of Samuel's call. Now, Samuel's story probably isn't as well known as Moses' story. But we do need to go back a little bit and talk about where Samuel came from before we enter into this text. So does anybody remember kind of where the story of Samuel begins?
Yeah.
Samuel.
His brother felt sort of out of sorts because it was expected that they would have children, and she had dead children. And so she was promised by the priest that she would have a child, and she said she would offer the first child to the Lord. And the first child was Samuel, so at the age of five he was brought to live, I think it was at five, he was brought to live with Eli the priest.
Wonderful. There's some visual imagery in the story that you told so well, thank you, about Samuel's mother, Hannah, and as Emil said, she did not have children and she wanted children. And so every year she and her husband Elkanah would go up this windy path up to a temple called Shiloh, and the temples in those days were built up on hilltops. And so they would take donkeys laden with gifts, their tithes, so to speak, to the temple, and every year they made that pilgrimage. So Hannah was a woman of faith who had heard the Hebrew scriptures, who prayed, who went to temple, who knew how to give back and to offer the precious things of life to God. And this is the Hannah that also brought the deepest desire of her heart to prayer and the temple, and to Eli the priest. When she conceived and became pregnant, she was sure that that was God's doing and God's answer to her prayer. And having this life of offering and giving back, she decided to give Samuel back then at Thanksgiving. It's a rather breathtaking move, which, as a mother, I can only marvel at. I can only marvel. I'm not sure I can fully comprehend the depth of what she did. And it says, when Samuel was weaned, so probably at least older than three, because children were nursed many years in those times, and maybe as old as five. So somewhere, he was still very young when she put him on one of those donkeys as they wound their way going up the hill to Shiloh Temple. And she freely gave him back. So Samuel went to live with Eli the priest and to learn from Eli, to live within a life of temple worship and God's presence. Now in the temple were a couple of things that it's good for us to know about. One of them is an oil lamp. If you walk into Catholic churches, most of the time there'll be something burning at all times. And it's either a candle, used to be a candle, now sometimes it's electrified, but it's a light that is to remind people that God's presence never goes out and is with us always. It's a reminder. It's a symbol. It's a comfort when you walk in, as well as, oh yes, I'm not alone. In the temples, they also lit an oil lamp. But it sounds like from the scripture that perhaps the oil lamp didn't burn at day, but it definitely burned at night, when we most need to see the light and be reminded. The other thing that was in this particular temple at this time was the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, what's in the Ark of the Covenant?
Ten Commandments.
The original Ten Commandments.
The second version of it.
The second version.
The second version. That's right.
The Ten Commandments 2.0.
Well, didn't they keep the dust from the first ones?
I think so.
They drank that.
They drank that. I remember they.
No. That was the golden cap, didn't it?
No, that was the golden cap. But I thought they gathered up the dust. I don't know.
Drank.
Didn't they have Moses' staff also? Wasn't Moses' staff in it, and the man and some man?
Man.
Might be. Might be. Was that also
man
in there? Yeah.
Staff.
So it's
Aaron's staff.
Aaron's
staff. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Aaron's staff. So in this box are the echoes of voices from times past. The echo of the voices of the faith, which Eli was teaching Samuel, and Samuel was growing up in. So this is the setting of a lamp or a light that is symbol and reminder of God's presence, whether we're aware of it or feel it or want it, it's still burning. And inside the box are the echoes of the voices of faith from time past. Samuel was sleeping in the actual, what we would call sanctuary part of the temple. He was sleeping in the room that had the ark, sleeping in the room that had the oil lamp. Eli, the priest, was sleeping in another room, removed from where Samuel was. So that's the setting for this particular scripture narrative. And it is good to do traditional Bible study so that we understand particulars of the narrative and aren't led astray down a path of our own choosing when we enter into scripture in a Lectio Divina way. So the way we're going to now enter into the scripture like we did yesterday complements more traditional Bible study that keeps us aware of the context in which the story was written, as well as the backstories of the people involved. So like we did yesterday, I invite you to get comfortable. And you probably know the ending of the story once again. Okay, it's actually better if you don't. But for those of you who do know the ending, try to listen to it as if you don't, as if this was the first time that you're hearing this. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he couldn't see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Lie down." So Samuel went, and he lay down. But the Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Are there images in your mind of the story? Pictures, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. What are they? A little boy lying in the sanctuary.
Eli's knowing smile when he figures it out.
Eli's knowing smile. Thank you, Dave.
I was thinking of Eli's patience with being woken up with this little boy going, yeah, yeah. But I, you know, and then to have the presence of mind to actually figure it out is something more than I would do if you were waking me up over and over again.
Maybe Eli's disappointment, too, that God is speaking to Samuel, but not to Eli.
Yeah.
And Samuel's just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me a little bit of Mom taking a nap, and you go in and say, are you awake, Mom?
Yes, because Eli would have been Samuel's father for all intents and purposes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Father and mother.
Yes, parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see Eli disappointed that God is talking to Samuel. I see him saying, God's plan is being fulfilled. This boy was sent here, this is right.
Following on that, maybe Eli sees the blessing or the benefit of his having been under Eli's tutelage during this time in the temple. He's following through. He's listening.
I got knocked off course by the words ministering to the Lord, which
yeah.
is what I heard, and that doesn't seem like the way I understand it being, but
I'm going on to that. Puzzle a little bit. Is there some irony in the story? Besides what John mentioned of Eli, you've been a priest forever and ever, and now upstart little Samuel. There's another small piece of irony.
Well, Eli had a couple of sons.
Yes.
He might have been disappointed that this child was picked rather than his sons.
Yeah. Who, in this translation, which is the NRSV, the sons are described as scoundrels. So there's that piece, the story. But there's one more. I find it ironic that Eli, in the traditional sense, was almost blind. Yet Eli was the one, and I heard several of you use the word, who saw who was calling Samuel. Mm. That might be something to just be aware of as you hear this story. Ponder it a bit. What does that say? Couldn't see in the usual way, but he could see other things. Maybe
see.
Things that were hidden.
Mm-hmm. Inside.
From the rest of us, I will show you hidden things.
thing I don't remember hearing before, the Samuel says, "Speak, Lord." Mm-hmm. I don't remember hearing him say, "Speak, Lord." But your version had that, and I don't think I had heard that. So that's
okay.
Different to me. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't separate the rest of the story from this. I mean, Samuel was given a message way too big for a little boy to handle. And it's really hard to just take one segment of the story without knowing how it flows and how it ends.
Absolutely.
How old was Samuel? Do they have a clue?
Well, he was given back to the temple after he was weaned.
Yes, but at this point, you know, was this 10 years later or, you know, 2 months later or... And so, you know, I mean, that makes a big difference, you know, in how you see this, but...
It doesn't answer that question. It does say, though, that the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor.
So he had...
It was sometime after.
Sometime after.
But it doesn't say...
He's
I always
still
picture
a boy.
Samuel as being more...
But they do call him a boy.
You know, puberty, 12, 13, somewhere in there, I guess.
I'm sure there was, and I don't think I know it. Does anybody know that? Was there a coming of age?
Well, wasn't it 13 because it's when they were bar mitzvah?
That would make sense.
So I had always heard he was 12. Now, maybe that's tradition.
Yeah.
Probably tradition, but it's interesting that it says, and he grew his favor and stature, which is the same thing they said about Jesus
right.
after he went to the temple.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So
that was 12.
So
these themes and stories and words, they circle back around again. Mm-hmm. It's good to pick up those threads. Thank you for doing that for us.
There are other strong parallels too, because when Hannah was told, or when Hannah found that she was with child, her song is very similar to Mary's song. In fact, Mary probably borrowed Hannah's song.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
so there's this interweaving of narrative that goes throughout that's fascinating to follow. Okay, we're going to listen now to this narrative again. And just like yesterday, I want you to see if there's an image or a word or a phrase that kind of stands out for you, that you kind of hang on to, or it hangs on to you a little more perhaps than the other words or images or phrases. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So words, phrases, images, no comment on them, but just to share so we can hear them.
I think maybe for me, the word it said the lamp of God had not gone out. I didn't know about this custom of having the light in the temple all the time, but I'd always figured that it was part of the description of Eli, at least up to now, that the lamp of God within him had not gone out.
So lamp of God really draws you in, that phrase
The word ministering in the first verse spoke to me. I mean, I picture him at that point still being quite small. I mean, may have been 12, I don't know. But I picture him as being quite small. And it reminds me that even though he was just under the tutelage of Eli and maybe doing very small things just at Eli's bidding, it was still an important ministry. And it tells me that even small things, if we're doing them for the glory of Christ or in Christ's church, it's important to the Lord.
Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Mm-hmm. Visions were not common yet.
Mm-hmm.
Visions were not common that day.
You had an irony there, picking up from Don. He's ministering to the Lord, yet Samuel doesn't yet know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But what stood out to me was the Lord stood there calling.
I was curious about what the word know means, and that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I'm sure the Hebrew word gives more than just an understanding. I don't know what it means. That makes me curious to know what that word actually means. Because he must have heard stories. I mean, his mother must have, even as a young child, heard mm-hmm. some stories. But hearing the stories doesn't necessarily mean you know them.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting what that word would really mean in Hebrew.
I do.
And I wanted to know what the action was in the reveal. Was this somebody else revealing, or was this an internal revelation?
Mm-hmm.
What is the word reveal?
Yeah.
What's the basis for that word in the scripture?
Okay. The word know and the word reveal.
The Lord came and stood.
The Lord came and stood.
That's kind of amazing.
I too was struck by it wasn't a time of visions
because
I think of this time as
mm-hmm.
not a time of visions that you would probably be sent for a psychiatric examination. I mentioned to Cliff yesterday the isolation in which some people, because of sensory deprivation, have visions. And I think that in my Sunday school class, where a lot of people used to be farmers, they said, older people, they said, well, our parents and grandparents saw angels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were, you know, out on the prairie with, you know, within a section, and it was, and I wonder what happened and why in Eli's and time there were, because it was, that there weren't visions.
Okay, so visions are rare. Any other words or phrases? Just the word or phrase or image.
Samuel. Sounds a lot like Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Samuel.
It does.
The first time he got called, he said, I am here in the room where he was by himself.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
He didn't go to.
Yeah.
He said something out into space.
Very perceptive.
Yeah.
Very perceptive, though. Thank you. Any others?
I think there are perhaps not many burning bushes now, but there are voices coming to us. Let's see, God's voice is coming to us, but it sounds like the person in the next room. We don't know it.
I think you're right. I definitely do. I think you're right because.
Any other words or phrases right now? Was the word of the Lord rare?
Yeah.
The word of the Lord was rare.
Okay.
Here I am.
Here I am. Any others?
Slept in the temple.
Slept in the temple.
Eli's eyes were dim.
Eli's eyes were dim.
Listening.
Listening. So we're going to hear this passage again. And I want you to listen again. Perhaps you'll hear the same word or phrase that will capture you, or perhaps it will change. And this time we're listening, kind of knowing there's something in our past, our present, or our future, something in what's going on with us that causes that word to have some special significance for us. There's a personal connection with this story at that level that's unique to us. And again, male voice, do you mind? It stops right there at listening, your word,
okay.
Listening, and starts up there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
So what words or phrases, just the word or phrase, did you hear this time?
The light had not yet gone out.
The light had not yet gone out.
The juxtaposition of Eli's dimming vision and visions not being seen.
Yes, yes.
They were two right together.
Yes.
A ministry.
Ministry.
Eli could not see, but more than just physical seeing.
Hmm.
Because he couldn't see what was happening with his own son.
Hmm.
Your servant hears.
Your servant.
Your servant.
Catherine Blake talked to her husband, William Blake, very matter-of-factly. She said, "Well, the first time that God spoke to you, William, it set you to howling." And Blake saw, listened to God all the time and heard God's voice and gave us those beautiful children's poems and songs, but also the access to the inner world through Milton and into Jerusalem. And the whole, all of this has been rich for me as I think of my early North Dakota, rural North Dakota history with the church and the emphasis on the call and the the message of, or of hearing God before you're ready to take up the work of God. So all of the three times through the scripture and all of these comments have been very rich for me.
I'd like to give you just a minute now to think about what there is in your life that perhaps may have some significance for you. What's going on or have gone on or you're thinking about in the future will go on that made this word or phrase significant. So if you can turn to your neighbor and each of you take a part of the minute and just share very briefly the connection for you with this passage, your life, and this story. And we have an odd number of people, I think, today. Let's start with this pairing.
I don't have a neighbor.
See if they come
out. I guess I'm your neighbor.
We'll see if this works out.
Katie's going to read it a third time. Listen again.
Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord said again, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said, "Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
What's being said to you in the scripture? At that intersection of your personal life and who you are meets this narrative. What is being said to you?
On that second reading, I didn't write down the little phrase as it was read. So then I did it from memory. And that wasn't too good. But so I wrote down, "Your servant hears." And this time I listened, and it didn't say that. It said, "Your servant is listening." Mm-hmm. And that's different than "your servant hears." Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a, why did I change that to "your servant hears"?
Mm-hmm. Well, take a moment. I'm going to give each of you a moment, and let's ponder, what is this narrative? What is being said to you through this narrative? Take a moment and ponder that. Quietly, whoever you were with the first time, if you're comfortable with it, share just a little bit of